is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next up, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. Let's bring them on to reintroduce themselves, their show, and what's up for today.
Welcome to Eyes Wide Open. We are multifaceted beings within a multidimensional existence, and we hold the power of perception. And this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, and the seen and the unseen. I'm Janessa Finley Ford, and I am one of your hosts here today. I'm an empowerment coach. I went from supervising felons to marrying one. And the story is not what most people would think. After turning the most challenging experience of my life into what saved my relationship and liberated my spirit, I now empower clients to heal their relationships, addiction, and injury from criminal justice system, and overall fall in love with their life. If you've been following along here at News for the Soul, you know that I'm a little bit of a routine person, and we have our little flow the second and fourth Wednesday. SJ joins me. I'm solo the first and third Wednesday. And when we are lucky enough to have a month with five Wednesdays, I love to bring on a guest. So the guest here today has changed my life a multitude of times over. She has touched my heart in ways I didn't even know the heart could be touched, and I rely upon almost no one. I rely on my parents a lot, super trust them. She's right up there with them, and of course my husband too. So actually, there's no special guest, if you will. SJ is joining me. You guys are all familiar with her. The guest that we were going to have here today, unfortunately, had something arise last minute, and so SJ jumped in to have a conversation with us today about the nervous system and regulating our nervous system. So, SJ.
Surprise! Special guest is SJ. You guys have been following us for a while now. You know I'm a certified crystal healer, shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner. I was actually super excited about the topic today when Janessa called me to let me know that there was an opening for a guest spot or speaker, because I love our nervous system and how we can regulate it and how many physical dis-ease and energetics we can relieve by regulating our nervous system. So I'm super excited and passionate about this. I love working autoimmune energetics along with a lot of ancestral genetics, which I'll get into that a little bit later of how that relates to our nervous system. But yeah, so I'm super excited to be here today.
I'm super grateful that you're here. Let's start out by first of all just prefacing that we will take callers if we have any in real time to help regulate your nervous system. We're going to talk about the symptoms and the benefits first, but if you want to jump on the lines with us, you can feel free to give a call and hang out because first come, first serve. So I don't know, benefits or symptoms, where do you want to start?
Let's start with benefits.
All right. Well, for me, there's like one benefit that trumps all. And it's something that you really can't see, but oh my goodness, do you feel it? When the nervous system is regulated, when you are in a place of peace, you are empowered. Like, there is so much power in our peace. One of the biggest learnings that I had from everything I went through last year is just the power of our peacefulness as humans, because when we're thinking clearly, we can troubleshoot like no other. When we have ways to process the emotions, we don't get stuck. The emotions don't become stagnant and clog up our nervous system, which then will eventually play forward to the physical illnesses. And that's when we start seeing things show up in the physical plane, is when our nervous system is too heavily burdened. So, you know, mind, body, and soul all the way around, the spirit's also involved with our nervous system when our nervous system gets overloaded. If we just really get bogged down as humans. So I don't know if that's tangible or intangible for people, a little bit of both, as it seems to be with the seen and unseen that we do here. And that's a pretty broad overview. Do you have other benefits you'd like to share? A little more down in the weeds.
My favorite is probably the way the digestive system functions, and then to tie into that, our immune system. When our digestive system and our immune system are under stress, or the nervous system is kind of fritzing out, you see all sorts of really tangible things come to the surface, whether that be diarrhea, constipation, not being able to fight off illness to where you're constantly plagued with parasites, bacteria, viruses, fungi, morphing bacteria, all of those things. And then when you start to think about the immune system, our gut processing center, that's one of the main ways that we process emotions and feelings as well. So back to what you were saying too, you are going to see the benefits of not just the emotional stance of that, but also the digestive system, to where your body's just going to work better for you, to where downstream items like autoimmune issues and things like that aren't going to raise their head, because essentially your immune system has been under stress the entire time that you have been under stress, or your nervous system has been in overload.
Yeah, I think talking about it from that standpoint too, of feeling stressed, like we all really can resonate and connect with that, versus a little more scientific, your nervous system. Like, a lot of people might not even know what this nervous system is. So let's chat about that for a couple minutes. Like, it's just a real relaxed, easy to comprehend definition. Our nervous system is comprised of two different parts. There's the fight, flight, flee, fawn, run like a bear is chasing you in the woods, and you're going to die. And then there's what I like to call like the Netflix and chill, where everything is copacetic and just at ease, calm, heartbeats nice and relaxed, our pulse is relaxed. Our breathing is not just shallow, it's deeper. And so we switch back and forth between those two sides, we'll just say sides of a coin, with our nervous system. And our society and our lifestyle really keeps us in the fight or flight version or side of our nervous system far more. We have to be very intentional and also aware and awakened. My personal journey, which those of you have been following, you know that I had a lot of illness and high stress occupation and lifestyle. And so I didn't even realize that I would be in my fight or flight. A lot of the time that I was in my fight or flight, because that was my normal. And that takes a toll on, and I've even seen it in my physical health. It really does take a toll on your body over time, and your spirit and your emotions. And all of that was a wreck for me when I started my energy and healing journey, which you guys have all heard about. So with the nervous system, regulating the nervous system, what we're talking about is really flipping that coin over and getting ourselves out of that fight or flight, the more tense and stressed side of the human experience, into that like relaxed and chill, go with the flow, everything's cool, calm, and collected, and having the tools to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think when we take a look at both the sympathetic, which is the fight, flight, freeze, and the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the Netflix and chill version, which I actually love that terminology. I've never heard that before, and now that's going to be my new jam, so I'm stealing that. Netflix and chill versus flight, fight, and freeze. But when we look at that, you know, back in the Stone Ages, when we first came into creation, there was probably a much higher need for that fight, flight, freeze response. There may still be that need, depending upon which areas of the world you currently live in. But if you're in the U.S., in most places, you're probably not, or other, obviously, other places as well, you're probably not going to need to sit in that fight, flight, or freeze for extended periods of time. So when we sit in that, though, like we cause that constant stressor, and I think it's super important to point out that the nervous system stress response can be triggered by an external event, of course, but it can also be triggered by internal circumstances as well. So anything from like an upset stomach or like a nagging thought of I'm going to do terrible at this job interview. Basically, if there's a problem, the nervous system's going to find it as it's constantly scanning to see if situations are safe or not. That's really its job. Like, are we in a safe space right now, or are we sitting somewhere where it's dangerous and life-threatening? And if so, that's really kind of what kicks into, for me, and the way I look at it from energetics even, there's kind of a third component, which is that vagus nerve, which is kind of the operating system or the intelligence behind the operation. Like, who is actually telling the fight, flight, freeze to kick in versus who is telling us to Netflix and chill? Where does that come in? And it's really a snap decision too, right? Like it happens in the blink of an eye to the point that the conscious mind oftentimes doesn't even have the time frame to even process that. So it's really interesting to me to how the vagus nerve functions within this and also just how it connects in with all of our motor and sensory fibers too. So, I mean, it literally travels through our heart, lungs, guts, liver, spleen, gallbladder, the ureters, the reproductive systems, neck, ears, tongue, kidneys. So it literally touches almost every bodily function that we have. So it's really like you can't over or underemphasize what that vagus nerve does for us and how that really comes into that fight, flight, freeze, but also the deregulation of it, bringing it back to Netflix and chill when we're not really in a constant state of life-threatening. Because, like, that stressor should really only kick off in life-threatening situations. And it's okay for it to kick off as long as it deregulates. The problems arise when you stay in that constant state of stressor, and those hormones, your adrenal glands, all of that are just keeping you at a different level from a hormonal stance, too, that just can really plague physical havoc.
Hormones is such a can of worms to get into, because when we are stressed, the cortisol, which is made by the adrenals, like SJ was talking about, they sit on the top of your kidneys. They take all of the resources to pump out the extra cortisol our body needs. I love with my blood lab specialist people that I work with using the analogy of making brownies and cookies. So there are so many hormones in the body, quick side tangent, because when we think of hormones, oftentimes people just think of reproductive hormones. Cortisol is a hormone. Our thyroid produces T3, well, T4 technically, and it gets converted to T3. TSH is produced by the pituitary, and on and on and on. There's so many hormones in our body, and we need those hormones for everything to stay balanced. So if you think about cortisol being your batch of brownies, brownies are my favorite, so we're going to make those first. And if your batch of brownies needs 2 cups of flour and you only have 3 cups of flour total, then your cookies are going to be a really small batch. And that's what happens with our hormones alone. And that's just one, you know, like essentially function within the body, that the stress and having this dysregulated nervous system is going to create. And with that is just a ripple effect. Once your hormones start falling out of balance, the systems that go along with that, it's just that drop of water into a cup that ripples out and out and out. So the longer that you're in that state of dysregulation, the more that ripple effect is going to take hold within the body and more things that are going to fall out of balance. So symptoms, that's one symptom, your hormones, but you're going to notice some other things well before you get to the place where your hormones are out of balance. So let's back it up into a little bit more like real time. how can I self-identify that my nervous system needs a little TLC?
Well, so I think I hit it just a little bit, right? Like gut. I feel like you feel it in the gut really quickly. And there's a link between that and the emotions. You guys know I'm a little bit more woo over on this side of the house, so it's probably weird listening to me talk a little bit about the science behind it, but I'm also a biochem nerd. That's where my degree was as well. So a little bit of my heart lives over in that area, and it's translated over into my energy healing practice as well, because there's always science behind the backing of the energetics. We just may not have found the link yet, but I truly believe the science will find the link to all energetics and how we are able to heal our own bodies energetically too. But like the gut, this is really where that sacral chakra, like this is when I get into that chakra system, the sacral chakra in your gut area in that solar plexus, that is where our emotions originate. A lot of people probably think, oh, when I'm an emotional, if you're looking at the chakra system, you probably think it's originating in the heart. Absolutely not. That's just where you finally acknowledge and feel it. The start of it happens within your solar plexus or your sacral, and then moves up into that solar plexus as well. So when you start to look at that, that gut area from a scientific stance is that enteric nervous system, or a lot of people, you hear them call it the gut brain or the second brain. So this is our digestive system's processing center, and it actually contains, this is from the HeartMath Institute of the Making of Emotions, contains more neurons than the spinal cord, and it is composed of two networks of neurons that are embedded in the walls of the digestive tract that run all the way up to the esophagus. So it literally controls our physical digestion, but that's literally the first sign for me that I typically see is, oh, my stomach's rumbling. I'm feeling a little bit queasy. Like, I feel like I'm going to puke. I feel like it's going to come out both ways. That's one of the first signs that I notice that my nervous system is 100% not being regulated. So that's probably my first sign. But what else do you notice, Janessa?
Yeah, I love the contrast that we always have with how we're in tune to our body and our spirit, because it's always very dynamic in nature. So I tune in with some subtle and then not so subtle ways of knowing that my nervous system is on the fritz. So sometimes I just notice my increase in heart rate or pulse, or my breathing becomes a little more shallow. So some people might tune into that with like residual low grade anger, anxiousness, and might connect with it more that way, where not everyone really feels into their heartbeat or their pulse, being moody, agitated, a little more reactive. You can see it show up in those ways as well. Shallow breathing, I think I mentioned that already, but even when you intentionally try to take a deep breath, it's much harder to fill the lungs, even when you stop to start using breath work or other means to regulate your nervous system. And some people also will just identify with feeling off. Sometimes that's me too. Like, I just really can't quite isolate or pinpoint what's going on here, but like I just can't relax and I can't really sit down and I just feel off. I want to move. Movement tends to also be a sign for me a little bit as well when I would otherwise want to sit down, which is something I'm learning to embrace. Hasn't always been my jam. but I really can't settle in and relax or stay off of my feet. Because it's just that discomfort, I think, for me and a lot of people that I work with too. If they can move around, it's like they can take their mind off of the discomfort that they're feeling, but it doesn't really actually go away because just because you're moving around unintentionally, and we'll talk about ways that you can regulate your nervous system, which does involve some movement, but when you're unintentionally moving about, you're not actually engaging what you need to for the nervous system to chill. So it's more of just the offloading of that energy, but not actually getting down into the root. And then we'll also see less subtle signs, insomnia. Like, I really know that I'm out of balance when I cannot sleep and I'm only getting a couple hours of sleep, which was a lot of last year for me, to be quite honest and transparent. Other not so subtle symptoms that I've encountered, being overwhelmed. So it just feels like you can't even take another anything. It's just too much. Everything's too much. Panic attacks also.
Mm-hmm.
High sensitivity to like sensory stimulus. So things sounding really loud, being really jumpy, being on edge, not being able to follow through with commitments that you make, or a task that you might start, you can't finish. And impulsive, becoming more impulsive because I'm pretty strategic. So it's a lot of things, but all of those ways are the ways my body speaks to me.
Yeah, I would say I notice like a rise in body temperature too. Like I start to get really hot, and I'm sure there's a link to like the blood pressure and hypertension coming into play with that too. But like the body temperature is the one that really, really gets me. And then I know when I'm like hella stressed out and in that space, like I'll have sweats, but I'll be freezing cold. And I am this human who never gets cold. So like, I know I have shorted out my nervous system. My auric field is blown out when that happens, and all of those things coming into play with that. But definitely the differences in the change of the body temperature, migraines come into play for me. When I was younger, I think I was in a constant state of nervous system fritz out. I would have horrible migraines to the extent that I would even lose my peripheral vision as well. So that was definitely, like, looking back in retrospect, those were clear signs that my nervous system was just dunsy and was out of there too.
That's a great example. I too share that. I got my first migraine days after moving out when I was married, and the divorce process had not actually started yet. And then they persisted semi-regularly until I started energy work and really the healing. And I don't know that I ever actually intentionally focused on the headaches. They just alleviated and went away.
Same. I feel like when we worked through, and I truly believe this is a link because I know I was fritzing out my nervous system with my genetic paranoia. So when we worked through that, for me, that was the last of my migraines. I've never had one since. We did that work as well. So it was certainly a nervous system link for my migraines than it was anything else. Doctors previously, they've told me it was all hormonal related. 100% not accurate for me, but I can see how the hormones were deregulated as well because of my nervous system. I mean, the root cause 100% was my nervous system, though, to my migraines, and honestly, I think to my hormonal issues too.
Yeah, it really does have a deep ripple effect. And like we said before, and we're not talking days, like we're talking years. The longer the time that you stay in that state of not having self-healing, self-love, self-care tools, then you're going to start moving into those types of ailments and physical manifestations. The one thing I really wanted to talk about with the nervous system dysregulation is the connection with, you know, I talked about staying in your power. And when we go through these traumatic times, like when we encounter trauma, the most recent trauma I experienced, like SJ was talking about the body temperature. That was the first like sign of knowing that this was actually my system was responding to it more than what my conscious mind was saying. Like, that's not that big of a deal. But I usually tend to run a little bit chilly. So like SJ never gets cold. I feel like oftentimes I never really get warm. And so if I'm normal, something's going on. But, you know, our growth edge, like, we don't want to be in this place of discomfort as humans, like I talked about. So maybe we get up and we move around, or we distract ourselves, or we numb, or, you know, we scroll on the phone endlessly, or we do these things where we just kind of zone out. But when you're in a situation that's really uncomfortable and you provide love to your nervous system to regulate it, it's like the magic recipe for major personal growth. Because if you think about whether this is you or someone you know and they've gone through a situation, and you probably can easily think of someone who's gone through something and they come out the other side just never the same, but not in a positive way. They're bitter, they're traumatized, they're easily triggerable. And then you can also probably easily identify people who have also gone through really, really hard things and come out the other side, not the same person, in a really beautiful, profound, and powerful way. And I truly make the argument that the ability to regulate your nervous system during that time is going to clear out all the stagnant emotions, all of the heavy, burdensome. I'm not saying it's going to make you 100% comfortable throughout the whole thing. That is not the human experience. The human experience comes with emotions that aren't comfortable. Being stretched is not comfortable, but our major growth happens during that time. And so having the tools to be able to nurture ourselves through that to a place of empowerment and being the person that comes out the other side in growth and not in de-evolution or just stagnating is one of the most powerful things you can, you know, gift yourself with really in this lifetime. And I feel like I interrupted a thought that you were starting to make. So do you remember what you were starting to say? Did I totally go a different direction?
Not completely, but I think I was going to the place of how, like, even our muscles can take a hit, too, from this being under constant nervous system stress, too. There's been a couple people that I have worked with that are definitely, I would call them athletes for sure. And when their nervous system is spritzed out, they absolutely had more sports injuries that came into play as well. I mean, that connective tissue takes a huge hit from those hormone dumps as well, from those adrenals. And even bones after so long of, like, continued stress can see that huge hit. So I think that was where I was going. But side note now.
Let's check and see. Nicole, do we have any callers?
Oh, yep, I'm also here. let's go to area code 402. 402, you're live with Janessa and SJ. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Joni from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hi, Joni.
Hi, girl, ladies.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. This good. Is hitting home with me pretty good right now.
So share with us, if you will, how do you experience your, like, what of what we talked about is the part that hits home for you?
How the neurological affects everything else. When I get, you know, off in my brain, if I'm thinking about something too much, or I'm fussing about something, or I'm anxious about something, it will go to my gut, and it goes, and it sits there, and it festers, and it'll make me sick. And there are particular situations that seem to trigger that reaction more, and but when it gets triggered, it sometimes takes me, I feel like, a week, you know, how I'm feeling, how I'm sleeping, how, you know, my appetite, everything. It just, I mean, there's just, it affects a lot of things. And I would like to be able to process through that faster. That's my story.
I was just connecting in. So the pause is strategic.
Okay.
You can take a couple of deep breaths, though, and we'll balance your energy systems as we feel into how we can best support you. And then also take a couple deep breaths, because we want to release what you are harboring and storing in that, what I like to refer to in HBLU terms, is the septic tank.
Oh, and that's interesting, because that's what I feel like. It's like I'm still standing in the gunk,
mm-hmm.
and I can't get rid of it.
Let's get that drain for you here today. And you also mentioned that you notice particular triggers. Do you want to expound on that a little bit more, if you feel comfortable to share any of those?
Generally family issues. And okay. I just got back from vacation with my family. And I have a better filter, or I have a stronger filter than what a lot of my relatives do. And so when I hold my tongue because it might be hurtful or it really doesn't need to be said, in that it would cause more harm than good, I store that stuff up and it becomes a ball in my stomach.
Yeah,
until
I'm just go ahead, Joni.
Where, you know, it kind of rolls around until I find a way of dissipating it. And usually that's talking to somebody or talking to myself or, you know, just trying to let it go and accept it for what it is and move on.
Yeah, I'm working a little bit of the ancestral and genetic component to this, Joni, from my end. From a scientific point of view, these would be called microchimeric cells. I don't know if that's anything that you've heard of, but basically we can pick these up from various ways, but the main way is in the womb of our mother. So oftentimes we will pick up cells from our moms, vice versa. If there were any other siblings, whether living or had passed, there could be some of their chimeric cells that are there as well. So if you notice anyone within that line, so mom specifically, that if she's triggered, you're triggered, and it's almost causing that sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system to fritz out in between the two. So it's almost like ping-ponging between each of you. So coming into that space, that's kind of where I'm working, is delinking those microchimeric cells to where you can have just your own reactions, but you don't have to carry those of mom specifically, and just kind of like releasing those cords and links between that as well. So from an energetic stance, letting the cording go between that to where, you know, her issues can be hers and your concerns that you're working on can be yours. That's really where I'm working from that stance. Does that microchimeric cells really resonate with you, Joni?
Yes, it does.
So I was tuning into some ancestral energy as well, and traumas can be like passed down from generation to generation. And so I was really tuning into that. And so you can take some deep breaths, and we just want to integrate to clear and release any of the energetics that have been held in place that both causes you to hold your tongue. There is a learning and growing into speaking our truth in a healthy, supportive way of other people. But as we learn that, it feels either or. It feels like I'm going to say what I think, or I'm going to not say what I think. I'm going to hurt someone, or I'm going to keep it to myself. And oftentimes we grow up with those principles of, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, which is really good in virtue, but oftentimes it does leave this connotation that we have to shut down. And so as we unfold to be able to embrace and both, like, I can speak my truth through love in a way that's supportive of everybody. So I'm just going to run some connections for you as well. Truth, your peace, speaking with love, to confidence, also to the self-love so that there isn't the either or. Like, not only is it from a voicing your thoughts standpoint, it's from I'm going to take care of them or I'm going to take care of myself, and I can't do both. And so we also want to flip that paradigm so that it's and both as well. So I can take care of myself and I can take care of my loved ones. I can honor myself and I can honor my loved ones. Take a couple deep breaths on that.
It's also really linking into the gray zone work where I'm at, which is where we make our soul contracts prior to conception and releasing out some of that energy of you are responsible for taking care of those family members, just releasing out the energetics of that so that everybody can be responsible for their own past, for their own lives, and their own decisions as well.
And when you tune into that area in your gut, Joni, how's it feeling? What do you notice?
Oh, right now it's clear. Oh,
beautiful.
My gut is white instead of angry orange, which is nice.
And how about that throat area as well, Joni? How's that feeling now? And more so than the throat, take a look at your lungs, too.
Okay, the lungs feel a lot clearer. My throat is still tight.
Yeah, let's go ahead and work that a little bit. Go ahead.
I wonder if that isn't because when the things I don't say, I feel, truly feel, would do more harm than it's going to benefit me.
Let's call in some absolute scalar waves so that we're receiving guidances 100% from source energy with no interference. Because there are certainly boundaries that can be vocalized that wouldn't cause harm but would also establish what's acceptable versus what's not. So let's just call in those absolute scalar waves into that throat, lung area just to clean out any interference, cording, or bindings or miasms that could be living there. Don't get caught up on the verbiage. Everything happens for you with this. There isn't anything that you have to cognitively. I just want you to really visualize those absolute scalar waves flowing into your lungs, up through the throat, and then exiting through the top of your crown. Just allow that process to purify for a little bit. Bring up all of those waves and opening that vagus nerve, that central nervous system, all the way up through the top. Make sure you're breathing through this, too.
Oh, head rush.
Yeah, now let's just make sure that energy is clear going all the way down. So now visualize that energy coming in through your crown, moving down through that throat, through the lungs, through that solar plexus, through the sacral, through the root, all the way down both of your legs, exiting out through your feet, into the earth. And then just visualize that flow of energy being cleansed and purified by the earth and then flowing back up in that continuous loop coming back in through the crown. It's a continuous loop of purifying and cleansing energy of those absolute scalar waves. Sit with that for just a moment. And take a nice deep breath in, exhaling slowly. How's that feel now?
Oh, way better. Open.
Good. Okay, last thing on my side of the street. I was working some timeline and, like, literally got a tear in my eye. I felt like sadness. And I was taken to H2, probably just being shushed as a child or told not to speak in general, right? Like, you're upset, sadness, crying, you know, whatever. Like, what kid doesn't actually experience that? So that part released and cleared, but then it stopped processing at age 43. Can you think of anything at age 43 that you would have choked back or choked down? And I don't mean like broccoli or some food that you didn't like when you were a kid. Is there a situation where you felt stifled or silenced?
Oh, my marriage. Yeah, my job, or my marriage.
And then what two things do you need to realize? Just tune in and ask yourself, what do I need to acknowledge about my actual ability to speak from what you experienced and learned at that time and situation with your marriage?
The number one thing I learned about speech is if I had spoken, things would have changed in 97 instead of when they actually did.
Well, that's pretty powerful. So if you apply that thought process to today, you might start seeing things in a different paradigm. And then what's the second thing that you need to acknowledge from age 43 in that situation to be able to release those from your timeline?
I believed I was doing the best I could.
And so, did it feel like the best you could? Did you give yourself credit for that? Or do you know that, like, which side of the coin is it? Do you know that you have more potential than what you were doing and you disillusioned yourself to believe you were doing the best you could? Or did you believe you were doing the best you could and you didn't give yourself credit for your best being good enough?
I believed I was doing my best, and I didn't give myself credit for it. I believed what other people told me instead of how I felt or what I thought.
Go ahead and take a couple deep breaths on that. And then we're just going to clear some old programming and take a couple deep breaths on that. I think that's it for me in supporting you. And as that finishes processing, give us a check-in and let us know how things are feeling for you from head to toe.
Way lighter than they did.
Good.
I've got some things to think about, and I need to do some pep talk with myself. I like these affirmations. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, it never hurts to talk to a mirror or to prep or script what it is you want to say. That was really pivotal for me as I started to use my voice and speak my truth, and it's something I still use today because that has for sure been a growth edge for me as I went through last year and then stepped into this space where I can now talk about things, but I want to be very intentional with how I'm saying it. So while that sounds sometimes very elementary, it's very, very powerful. So that would be another thing, just a script. And start getting your thinking and those new neural pathways going. Or I feel, you know, making the focus on you so it's not coming across as an attack. You're not saying you if you were to address any of this stuff with other people versus choking it down. And, making sure that you're in that place of power when you do speak.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
In the Stronger Together live sessions course as well, there's also that getting into flow with the elements, so utilizing the elements to really get your auric field back into flow, which your auric field has a direct link into the nervous system regulation as well. So when we up-level the nervous system, we're also essentially up-leveling that auric field at the same time, which also really works those energetic boundaries. If you have access to that, I would definitely go take a look at that and do that specific live session that we put together on working with the elements to get into flow. And if you don't have access to that, you can find the link to the Stronger Together community at fiercelyradiantsoul.com or crystallinecurrents.com as well.
I'll check it out. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so as we're moving close to the top of the hour, let's talk about ways that people can regulate their nervous system on their own at home. And then when they're not getting the results, they're not moving into that long, sustainable place of peace, that's when you know that you would really benefit to be supported with professional support in managing the nervous system. There's so much to it. But so this is also our funny story. I didn't tell it at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's really short. But one of my favorite ways to regulate my nervous system is, of course, tapping, which the tapping tutorial is on the News for the Soul website. I even used it last night. I woke up around 5 a.m. I had this download. It came with shame and fear, and I didn't want to get up and have to journal or do whatever, and I really wanted to go back to sleep. So I walked myself through the tapping tutorial. I was back to sleep practically before I even finished all the way through. When tapping doesn't work, so tapping is oftentimes my personal go-to. SJ embraced me with playing my gratitude game recently, where we just went back and forth stating something that we were grateful for. And I can't remember if it was the first thing I said or second. I think it might have been the second. But I said I was grateful for my stumpy appendages because they fit everywhere. And she about fell out of the car laughing at me. Like, who calls their legs and arms stumpy appendages? I do. This girl does. So gratitude is such a really powerful emotion. You would be shocked at the effects that you will feel from that. But we're not talking about necessarily thinking about, I'm grateful for where I live and I'm grateful for my job, and then letting the thought pass through. In fact, the day that we did this, I was not having a great day. I was having a strugglesome day, and I had experienced a trauma. And I did the work around it, and I still just felt in a lower place than what I wanted to feel. And I think we went back and forth for probably close to like a half an hour. But as we went back and forth, like eventually one of her things she was grateful for is that when I list the things I'm grateful for and the more I get grateful, I clap my hands as I do it because it really does build the energy and the vibration and it lightens everything. And then it also calms the breathing and the heart rate and the pulse. So simply really like diving into gratitude, not just thinking in a couple passing thoughts of a couple things that you're grateful for, but holding that state of gratitude will regulate your nervous system. Other things I recommend, gentle movement that's intentional, such as yoga, qigong, tai chi. Breath work is great. We have the tapping and breath work in Stronger Together. And SJ mentioned where you can find those on my website or hers or through the links through the News for the Soul website. And there are courses with all of these tools that you can use when you need them. So you have all of these resources available to you and you're not waiting to, you know, get in with someone or make it to your appointment time because life happens all the time. And so these resources and what we put together within the Stronger Together community really empowers everyone to be able to do life on life's terms and to stay in their place of empowerment as they are moving through the more challenging times. And then the last thing that I was going to mention, and I'm sure SJ has a whole list herself, is this is really small and simple, especially beneficial when you're trying to fall asleep. but intentionally placing your tongue on the bottom of your mouth. So when our nervous system flares, we subconsciously press our tongue against the top of our mouth. It's part of the response from the vagus nerve. And so being certain to have your tongue placed on the bottom of your mouth is going to send that messaging through the vagus nerve and relax and soothe the nervous system.
Yeah, and I love that you brought up the clapping too, because it makes me geek out a little bit too from the auric field stance. From my modalities work, definitely the auric field and the central nervous system have a direct link to each other. They are harmonious with each other, and they are not in harmony when one or the other is out of sorts. And clapping is a great way to clean up any disturbances within the auric field. So if there is something penetrating your auric field and you start clapping, you're going to clean that up by the vibrations and the harmonics. So I love clapping. We can do that anywhere. There's nothing that we require to have with us for that. From a crystal healing aspect, Numite and lithium quartz are my main jams with all things a nervous system. They'll be in every single one of my crystal healing layouts if we're working the nervous system, which typically we're working the nervous system in some aspect or another, whether it be a trauma response, autoimmune, or genetic issue. So those are my crystal recommendations, is that Numite and the lithium quartz. From shamanic earth medicine, I love working with the elements and using grounding exercises like light column activation, or specifically for processing of emotions, wood energy, and learning how to do that activation with wood, which all of those, I can't say all of the elements, but I think there are 24 or 26 elements that I put together grounding exercises with and included that in the Stronger Together membership site as well. So again, you can find that there. Once you get into the flow of how to do those, you can do them anywhere. It's just learning them. You don't need any material. You don't have to have, you know, wood with you in order to ground or activate with wood energy. But wood is one of the best for really helping us to process emotions, which when we're working with the nervous system, we're always going to be processing a specific emotion. So those are my go-tos for nervous system regulation as well.
Good, good stuff. So many, I know we've talked about so many of these things from different aspects in self-care, self-healing, but I hope this really takes it to another level for everyone out there to understand why it's so profound and the impact that it has from, you know, body all the way into our spirit, our soul, our energy field. And there's nothing better than feeling like yourself. And when your nervous system is ramped up, you are not getting the best version of you that you have to offer the world. So as we close out here today, we do have a live coaching call tomorrow in Stronger Together, where you would experience much the same of what you heard here on the air today, supporting people with real-time coaching in a community of really supportive, amazing, radiant souls. And then next week, oh, I should tell you also about our Facebook page. I feel like we haven't mentioned that for a while, and there's also lots of goodies there, lots of tools and videos that you can get that you don't have to be in the group coaching or anything for as well. So jump on over, if you're on Facebook, to the group Stronger Together, Fall in Love with You, and you'll find a lot of resources that will pair very well with the conversation that we had here today. Next week, if you come back and join me here live at the same time, same place, I will be on solo continuing our series, The Various Different Systems, how they came to be the way they are, and really making the case that our systems are not broken, that they are operating exactly as they've been designed to be. So you can join me back next week for that. And until then, friends, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.